The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, on the earth.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live. Marijuana Nation. Now. Here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes. It is Thursday, August 11th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for this next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more. By, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and once again have lots of folks in the studio. Let's start, of course, with the pilot of the Starship here, Ganja John.
What? Oh, I did it again.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I forgot to hook my computer up before the show. And that's a problem.
So. There we go. All right. Well, we'll get that taken care of. Also joining us in the studio today is the lovely Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie?
Good. Really good.
You're on the Coleco cam, so. Yeah, and we've also got Wiz Coleco is here as well. We'll get an overhead shot. So plenty of folks hanging out and Cannabis Cure out there in the back. So thanks, everybody, for joining us here for the show. Now, coming up on today's show, we got all sorts of great guests. We have our regular Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment that we're going to be getting to. And joining us today, William Vandergraaf, who is a former Winnipeg police officer up there in Canada. And so we'll talk to him at half past the hour. I've got a radical rant at the end of the show. The drug war is driving some of us crazy. We've got the Groovin' Thursday music today, and Cannabis Cure is going to take care of that for us today. But before we get to all that, after our first break, we do our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. So what is in the news today?
Today I have a terrible story that comes with some video about a robbery scheme down in L.A., also some NASCAR information, and a sad story about a mother and how she tried to treat her son and what happened to her. So we'll cover all those on the headlines today.
All right, great show coming up. And also we've got Hour 2, our Toker Talk Radio. We'll be hanging out with everyone here and discussing more of the news and issues of the day. That's just one of the things going on the Normal Network today. We got all sorts of shows coming up later tonight. You'll be able to check out Civil Disobedience Radio, the Cannabis States of America, John Doe Radio, and Terry Joyce with her Hollywood Hemptress Hour. We'll be right back with the news after this. Stay tuned.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners.
If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Police in Fullerton, California are looking for three men in a marijuana robbery scheme. The men set up a fake medical marijuana dispensary, then robbed a delivery man of $20,000 worth of cannabis. The courier thought that the delivery was legitimate because the office where he was asked to deliver the marijuana had a green cross on the front of the building, a symbol that has come to often identify medical marijuana dispensaries. Three men confronted the courier as soon as he entered the office and attacked him. Authorities have released surveillance video of the attack, and we have that video from KTLA News.
A driver delivering medical marijuana is duped and robbed of his leafy meds. $20,000 worth of weed is stolen, and it's all caught on tape. That driver who was robbed thought that he was delivering to a legitimate pot clinic, but he was wrong. Olga Espina now live in Fullerton. She's got more on this unusual story. Olga.
Rick, that's what Fullerton police are saying. They say this guy was tricked. They say the people behind it, they have three suspects, and they say that this was a well-calculated scheme. They say that this individual, the courier, they're not holding anything against him because there is no medical marijuana dispensaries allowed here in Fullerton. However, they're saying he is the victim, and they do want you to take a close look to the surveillance video and see if you recognize any of the suspects. Take a look at this surveillance video. A medical marijuana beat and robbed of about $20,000 worth of marijuana. Fullerton police say the Oakland man thought he was delivering to a legitimate dispensary yesterday afternoon. There was a green cross on the door of the building.
That green cross is kind of a universal symbol for a marijuana dispensary.
But when he went inside, he quickly discovered it was no dispensary.
As soon as he got inside the hallway, he was confronted by three men, two male Hispanics and a male black. Who began pistol whipping him and assaulting him in an attempt to get the marijuana from him.
You can see in the surveillance video the courier being tackled.
There's a struggle, and eventually they try to push the victim out the front door to get rid of him. They can't push him out the door. He really didn't want to give up on his delivery.
He eventually gets away from his attackers, but not before being robbed.
In the end, the victim actually got half of the delivery back. So the suspects made off with about 9 pounds of marijuana with a street value of about $20,000.
The victim was taken to the hospital with lacerations to his face, but he is expected to be okay. Now, police aren't giving too much information on this courier other to say than he is from Oakland. He is in the hospital. And again, they are not pressing any charges against this man, even though medical marijuana dispensaries are not allowed in Fullerton. He was trying to sell here. But again, if you have any information, if you recognize any of the suspects in the surveillance video, you ask to contact Fullerton PD. That is the very latest from Fullerton. I'm Olga Espina. Back to you in the studio.
Well, once again, this shows why we need to have marijuana legalized. When it's, you know, on the fringes here and the gray edges of legality, we're going to have these sort of situations set up. I mean, you could probably predict what I would say about that. But I want to take this from another angle. Let's take this from these crooks angle, these low-life scumbags who beat up and robbed a grower. Let's take it from their angle. Okay, we're three guys, and we're going to set up a fake dispensary in order to lure in guys with weed and money and beat them up and take what they got, and we're going to ambush them in a place that has video cameras in it. what in the hell are these guys thinking? I mean, if that was their point, if that was their goal, once again, it just shows you why some people are just born for a life of crime. It's because they're idiots. This is disgusting. Once again, let's just legalize it. You don't see these kind of things, these kind of stories happening with, you know, beer distributors, you know, guys setting up a fake bar and luring the guy in with the beer truck to beat him up, right? Let's legalize this so we can get the crime out of it, get the yahoos and the criminals and the deadbeats and the losers out of this, and make this a legitimate industry. Let's have some growth industry and some jobs in this country.
And from the world of NASCAR, two members of the Earnhardt Ganassi Racing Team appeared in North Carolina Superior Court in Huntersville on Wednesday to face charges of marijuana trafficking. Trevor Lines and Jeremy David Frey spent Wednesday in court and then were fired by the Earnhardt Ganassi Racing organization later in the day. Lines was a tire changer on the crew for Sprint Cup driver Juan Pablo Montoya, and Frey was a mechanic with the NASCAR team. They were arrested on Tuesday when Huntersville police seized 10.5 pounds of marijuana that had been shipped to them from California. The team owner of Earnhardt Ganassi Racing, Chip Ganassi, released a statement Tuesday night after both members appeared in court and were fired, saying that he has a zero-tolerance policy on drugs and was disappointed by the arrests of his team members.
Oh, yeah, but plenty of alcohol being drank and sponsorships out there, you know, cars driving around with Budweiser and Coors Light on them, and that's all celebrated. You know, I'd kind of assumed, though, that marijuana was a part of NASCAR. I mean, to be able to watch those guys going around in circles 200 times, I don't know. I think I'd have to be pretty baked to do that myself. But, you know, again, this kind of just illustrates how deeply ingrained marijuana is in just all walks of life, you know, no matter what we're talking about. NASCAR, hip-hop shows, country music, rock and roll, thrash, hippies, you know, new age, whatever you want to call it. We're everywhere. There is no stereotypical stoner. I know plenty of NASCAR fan types that just love their weed as much as I do, you know, and I couldn't stand the sport, couldn't sit there and watch it, but, you know, we have that in common. You know, a lot of football fans I know that are fans of the herb, you know, we're everywhere. I'm not surprised that this happened in NASCAR. It's, you know, a little bit hypocritical, their reaction to it, considering how reliant they are on alcohol money.
For our Canadian listeners, some news from the Great North. Nova Scotians who are receiving social assistance will no longer be able to get medical marijuana as a special need. Under budget constraints, the Department of Community Services says that they are tightening the rules for its special needs funding, and medical marijuana did not make the cut. Up until now, some people on public assistance were able to get the department to pay for marijuana as a special needs, and other things that you could apply for special needs funding included things like therapeutic massages. But the department says that the rules were too vague, and they are now applying new rules to the program. Between 20 and 25 people have received some kind of assistance for medical marijuana, and they will continue to receive that assistance. Last year, one woman who was on social assistance won her court battle and forced the department to pay for her supply of medical marijuana. In another case, an appeal board ordered the department to cover the cost of growing equipment for another recipient. Dan Troke, who oversees the special funding program for the Department of Community Services, said that the new language means others that are seeking money for medical marijuana-related costs will no longer be eligible. The new rules went into effect on Monday.
You know, is it medicine or is it not medicine, right? Would we do this? We'd turn to people, you know, gosh, public assistance people, we're going to have to stop funding your insulin. You know, gosh, we just don't have enough money to fund your insulin. Going to have to go off the insulin or, you know, any of these other medications they might be taking that's saving their lives. No, it always seems when it comes to medical marijuana that it's the second class medicine. It's the medicine of last resort and the medicine that's first on the chopping block when we're talking about any sort of government support for it or helping the people that really need it to be able to get it. I mean, here in our own state of Oregon, we've got them raising the fees on the medical marijuana patients in order to help balance the budgets in other areas, right? Yeah, that's how we make up the shortfalls here. Let's tax the sickest and most disabled people. Let's get money from them because, you know, they won't be able to fight back that much. It's despicable. And what they're doing here in Nova Scotia here with, you know, not funding this for medical marijuana special needs, well, again, you know, it's just more of that discrimination against this herb just because it's not a traditional medicine. It doesn't get the same treatment, the same discussion as, you know, something with a barcode on it. It's time that Canada, Health Canada, if you're going to say this is medicine, let's start treating it like medicine.
A woman from Washington State was sentenced on Tuesday to 1 year in prison for blowing marijuana smoke at her 13-year-old son. Diane Suzanne Etchinson blew marijuana smoke into her 13-year-old son's face to try to treat his attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. She told police that she was desperate and trying to give her son something since the family had run out of his prescription medication. Police were called into the case by the Child Protective Service workers who had been working with the family. She pleaded guilty in Cowlitz County to charges of drug delivery and child domestic violence and was sentenced to that full year in prison.
Wow. Wow. Year in prison for blowing marijuana smoke into the kid's face. 13-year-old, huh? I'd like to know whether or not this person smoked cigarettes. Wouldn't it be interesting to know if they smoked cigarettes and were blowing, you know, secondhand smoke, you know, into this kid's face for 13 years? Now, we don't know that. I'm just speculating. You know, wouldn't that be interesting to find out? And I wonder if Washington State would be prosecuting such a mother if, you know, this mother were a tobacco smoker and smoked, you know, pack a day inside the house around the 13-year-old kid. Would that be delivery of a dangerous drug to the 13-year-old? We never say that, you know, we should be getting kids high, you know, using marijuana to treat kids' symptoms until there's doctors involved, until we, you know, have a real look at this and we're really careful about this. On the other hand, when you're talking about a desperate parent who can't afford prescriptions in this country where we don't really value health care or give people a shot at this, you know, in the general working people here, what is she going to do? She's taking this risk. She's going to try something that works to try to help her kid lead a decent life. And, you know, maybe blowing the marijuana smoke into his face without, you know, doctor supervision or getting a medical marijuana card, maybe that is wrong. But is it a year in prison wrong? Really? Is it that, you know, we need to separate her from her child? We need to keep her out of society, locked up in a cage at taxpayer expense because of this? I just think on the list of things that, you know, I have heard regularly parents doing with kids. Let me give you an example from my background. I remember dating a woman one time who had a couple of kids who, when you wanted to get them to sleep at night, would give them like the antihistamine or whatever, you know, just like cough syrup or whatever, you know, something over the counter, and not a lot, you know, a couple, 3, 4, 5 drops in a dropper full just to get the kids sleepy. That was definitely kind of something we would frown on, you know, think as abusive. Would it be something deserving of a year in prison? I don't think so. I think we really need to reserve prison for people that are a danger to those of us in society, and I don't see this as being a danger to that child. Marijuana smoke in his face is not going to kill him. And in fact, when you've inhaled marijuana, it's really pretty much ineffective what she was doing, because once you've inhaled the marijuana, within 3 seconds of it getting into your lungs, most of the THC has been absorbed into your bloodstream. So the smoke she was blowing into the kid's face probably didn't even have that much THC in it to begin with. We just overreact on this whole what about the children craze that we have in this country. We overreact whenever there's a kid involved, and unfortunately this is going to be you know, a terrible thing for this woman to have to live down. All right, I have one other quick story that I wanted to bring from the world of sports, actually from the UK Mail Online, or the Fail Online, I think we call it, but the UK Mail Online, a story about a greyhound trainer, right, greyhound dog racing, banned from keeping animals after giving dogs Viagra and cannabis. The trainer pumped the dog full of Viagra to speed it up and cannabis to slow it down. And I'm thinking, it sounds like a weekend at Ganja John's place, man.
Totally.
So this is the story for the Daily Mail. A greyhound trainer who pumped his dog full of Viagra to make him, quote, run his head off, end quote.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
at unlicensed races, has been banned from keeping dogs for life. Anthony Gregory Fowler from Stockton-on-Tees also gave his greyhound cannabis to slow him down, allowing him to profit from wins when the dog was then given more favorable odds. The 61-year-old was affecting odds at unlicensed race meetings, Hartlepool Magistrates Court heard. The trainer told police in an interview he fed his greyhound Jake boiled cannabis when he wanted him to lose races. When the odds were better and Fowler wanted Jake to win, he would feed him Viagra or a testosterone-based drug, then watch him run his head off. Look, so if you are going to be in the UK anytime soon, please watch out for the the testosterone and Viagra-fueled greyhounds running about that are then trying to wean themselves off by using the cannabis, the deadly skunk cannabis, I understand, that they have out there in the UK as well. Now, I'm glad this guy has been banned from being able to own dogs, because this has been kind of a issue of mine for a while. I don't like it when people get their dogs high or get their animals high, right? Now, if you get high and your animal comes over to you and is wanting you to blow in the face, then maybe you got a case to make. But I've seen people that grab their dog and, you know, try to hot box his face. Don't do that, man. That's just cruel.
Dogs are high enough.
Yeah, dogs are high enough, man. You should see my dog with a garden hose, man. That's high. I wish I could find something that made me that happy as my dog is playing with the garden hose or playing with the ball. So please, don't be playing games with your animals, forcing them to get high. We told the story of the guy that put his cat in a bong, you know. Just don't do this stuff. Treat animals with respect. There's no need to get them high. And besides, why waste your stash on an animal that would prefer a treat or catnip?
Well, let's smoke some human catnip and have a break.
Human catnip, that's a good way to put it. Hey, Carrie, thanks for the live news. Appreciate it.
It was great. Thank you.
All right, we're back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, a reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
This is Piotr for Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write Normal, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help Normal to help protect your rights.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, every Thursday we get into the rap and the hip-hop R&B tip, and normally we'd be going to John Doe Radio for this. Check out John Doe later tonight at 7 o'clock. But we've got Cannabis Cure UK in the house, and he's got some hip-hop for us. So we turn things over to Greg to tell us all about it.
How's it going, guys?
Very good, very good.
Awesome to be here again. Today I've got a tune for you by one of my favourite bands from Down Under. It's by a group called Law Crew. It's a bit of a hip-hop track. I've been thinking back over my journey of the last 4 months, reminiscing of things back in England where everything seems to be blowing up every 5 seconds, like on The Simpsons. And just thinking about everything that's going on back there, thinking about everything that I've been doing here, and thinking about everything that I'm going to do. And this song is called Way Back by Law Crew, and it's thinking about your early days of smoking the ganja.
All right, this is Law Crew with Way Back for your Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes. Enjoy.
People say they don't get high the first time they smoke. Not me. No, not us. We were really, really high. We was cold.
Yo, I remember way back when we sat on
underneath the gum tree, out the back, behind the music rooms. Fond memories of talking shit and pumping tunes. Starting chops or just laughing lots, throwing rocks. Trying to buy your feed, no manager to fire me. Rhyming fine and freeze with the finest trees. When I finish class, I decide to roll home with the six pack cracking from the Lizzie Heights Bolo. I wish I had a gear car, but I got Scatty and Vera, or feeding the Chimera with Yimbat. Yo, nobody had a gift out, that shit's fat. Days are so slow when you're chilled as shit. Some of the teachers at school, yo, I didn't feel your shit. But overall, it was the gear, and after all, it got me here. Hanging with my mates is like family, nothing ever angered me.
Yo, I remember way back in the day back. Chillin' in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me, cause I remember way back in the day back. Chillin' in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me, yo. Remember when we used to go back and rap a patch of pad where we get so whacked in the free period? The whole crew is feigning this, but the sickest thing, we never seem serious. The dreamiest kids always laid back. I know it was the shit cause we still listen to the same tracks. Ain't that something? Lame cats judging, take that junk in, breaker and a muffin. Jumping in the music rooms, playing metal, stoner crew out, girls laying the pedals. Settle in the classroom, prime spot to chill and think, but yo, I could ask soon. Bombing shit and spilling ink, rocking a little drink, a dust juice popper. Back in the day, they used to make that proper, 100%, with no added resentment. Out bush, back to my pad is where heads went. Valley missions, through the channel, we're my number one. Chilling in the forest, in touch with the bunja lung. Sorry, mom, I gotta run to the shed side. There's a whole rowdy crew of good vibes and red eyes. Cause I remember way back in the day back, chillin' in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me, cause I remember way back in the day back, chillin' in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me,
well, it's way back, which you miss, hidden in the mist, going on a miss, yeah, in the Nimbin 6, with the split was bliss, the crew and I would spend the day, searching for a swimming hole and chilling in the shade, the term blazed, wouldn't even describe us, with plant fibres wide, holding open our eyelids, a vicious virus, we would spread through the undergrowth, little tyrants, raising hell everywhere we'd roam, covers blown, when we were caught by our family, chasing round wildlife and causing lots of anarchy, half-handed. Barbarically, uncannily, just my friends and me swinging through the canopy. But gradually, days start slipping away with too much on our plates to find time to play. Still, the memories stay like kicking it by the creek, watching all the Indians grow into chiefs.
Cause I remember way back in the day back, chilling in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me, cause I remember way back in the day back, chilling in the haystack with the tightly wrapped Scooby snack that my mom packed just for me, yo.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of normal legal committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
Oh, I love when we get to these Thursdays and cops say legalize drugs. We have got a former officer, police officer from the Winnipeg Police Department in Canada. William Vandergraff is joining us by telephone. William, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
Thank you for holding on the line there. I hope you got that. Our call screener's live in the studio with us, and so she couldn't talk to you when you were coming on the air.
That's okay.
No glad you problem. Stuck with us.
How are things down there? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Great place.
Yeah, we're having a very cool summer this summer, so it's been very nice out here.
Oh, great.
Now, I've got from your bio here that you were a Winnipeg police officer. How long did you do that? When did you retire?
Well, I worked 29 years with the Winnipeg Police Service. Much of my career was in the detective division, homicide, major crime, robbery. And I retired as a staff sergeant in charge of homicide, major crime, and street gang unit in 2001. And I worked 5 years in law enforcement with Manitoba Public Insurance investigating fraud. There's a huge problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, and then I started thinking about what was happening and reflecting back upon my career and whatnot. And so many of those murders and cases were involved the prohibition of drugs. There was no question about it, and they were simply avoidable.
Yeah. So even not working in narcotics, you know, working in murder and gangs and all of this, of course, we see so much of the war on drugs, you know, spilling over and leading to those other sorts of crimes that we really do worry about.
Well, certainly, and that's where our focus has to be, and I think, take the situation in Britain last several days and whatnot. I mean, let's take a real good hard look at that. To some degree, I'm not saying all of it, but to a large degree, that is formulated as a result of the war on drugs in a lot of respects. We have our police forces that go routinely into our neighborhoods. They search, harass, stop cars, harass, usually black people, usually in my city, it's often Aboriginals and some of the black community and whatnot, and the poor people, because they're visible. And what we do is these young people who are struggling in a world to survive and seeing the gap between the rich and the poor, they're automatically drawn into the drug trade, be it marijuana or hard drugs or whatever. And the constant pressure by the police in these communities, you know, searching and criminalizing a kid for, say, a few grams of marijuana, well, that kid may now turn out to be a problem for us down the road, because you call him a criminal, he very well may turn into that. And I have had my own problem in that area as well. And I know how a lot of these kids think, and they can't get jobs after you, even if they're getting a small fine. That's still a criminal record.
Right.
It's a hard thing for them to overcome, and we've got to stop that. Now, you see a lot of hate of police officers, a lot of disrespect for the law, and that's due to the war on drugs in a lot of respects. And when we keep harassing and throwing in, people into jail and calling them criminals and whatnot, particularly with marijuana, for a substance that is clearly safer than anything out there, including alcohol.
Yeah, and you know, on our side of the border, we often hear this notion that we need to get tough on crime. And one of the things I'm seeing happen north of us now in Canada is you guys taking up your government taking up these policies that we pioneered in the 80s, things like mandatory minimum sentencing. Why is Canada reacting like this? Why is this government reacting like this when they so obviously could see the failures of that policy here in America?
Well, it's a form of insanity, is it not, Russ?
Yeah,
by our
true.
Government officials. There's no question about that. The 40-year drug war hasn't worked. Now we get new young politicians, we get new young cops who suddenly flex their muscles and say, well, we'll do better than what those old cops used to do. Right?
Yeah.
So they push and they push hard, and we keep seeing this happening every decade with new cops, new politicians, and they simply think they can do better. Well, I say give up. Throw up the white flag, because you guys will lose. You have already lost.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to recognize that fact, and you have to start doing things in a more responsible and sensible way to make our city safer. And that's the whole issue. If we don't start thinking about legalizing drugs and stop this war on our own citizens, we're going to see many more problems like we're seeing in Britain right now, or even Vancouver during the hockey riots.
Right. Well, you know, according to the biographical information we've got here, it says that you've been, you know, all across the United States, Canada, and Australia, and those three countries, I think, are, you know, all kind of the same mindset when it comes to cannabis and drugs, as far as having this prohibitionist mindset. What sets these cultures, U.S., Canada, Australia, apart from, you know, European counterparts? We're seeing Europe starting to have much more progressive laws of decriminalization in Portugal and such. Why are we so different on this?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not real happy with what I see going on in Portugal and those places, because they don't do anything for organized crime. But it is a step in the right direction.
That's true.
You know, it is a step in the right direction, and they do have much better policies. But I'm hearing they're having huge problems in Holland right now with police clamping down on marijuana grows, for example, because it's still technically illegal there.
Right.
And so I'm not so sure that it's that much different. And I know Britain has clamped down on marijuana over the years too. Heroin, they have provided to their junkies and have reduced heroin addiction by 50% and then associated crime. But they still keep putting pressure on the marijuana communities and whatnot. And people are getting pissed off and fed up with it. And you see the results.
Mm-hmm.
In Vancouver, the hockey riots, I mean, that was alcohol-fueled. And when you talk about Portugal and the Netherlands, they've had huge soccer matches this decade that they've simply said, hey, no alcohol, but smoke as much pot as you want. We won't enforce the pot laws. Well, they never had any riots.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
We're speaking with William Vandergraff, a former Winnipeg police officer, retired, and a speaker currently with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Check out copsaylegalizeddrugs.com or leap.cc for more information on booking Leap speakers. And William, you know, you alluded to the British riots that are going on, these soccer riots, these you know, people that are upset, and you know, we see looting and terrible things going on here. But how much of this do you attribute to this war on drugs, the people being dissatisfied with their government and such?
Well, it's a total dissatisfaction with their government when you see the gap between the rich and the poor, and then the young people are drawn into the drug trade because they're trying to close that gap for themselves, and they get into all kinds of problems and whatnot, and then the police go in there and they start flipping over cars for users and whatnot and criminalizing people. And you call a person a criminal once, he very well may turn into a criminal, and the kind of people we're seeing out there. So the war on drugs has had an effect. We can't keep waging war on our own citizens, particularly with the gap between the rich and the poor. And let me, if you got time,
oh, please
I just
do.
Got an interesting thing about the other thing is the war on drugs is all racial, and was created as a result of racism. And I have an interesting article in front of me from the Metro Times out of Detroit, where
Neil Franklin,
well, he's been lobbying with the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. for some years now, and they finally just recently endorsed the principles of ending this war on drugs and whatnot. And there was an interesting article that raves about the NAACP and whatnot. It's a large group in the U.S., as you well know, with a lot of influence, and I think it's about time they took this kind of a measure. But anybody that thinks they're wrong, according to this article written by Larry Gabriel in the Detroit Metro Times, is President. According to an interview that he quotes here by a Don Baum, author of Smoke and Mirrors, The War on Drugs and the Politics of Failure. And this was an interview with John Ehrlichman, the White House counsel,
yes, yes.
Richard Nixon, who declared the war on drugs. And I quote from this article, "Look, we understand we couldn't make it illegal to be young or poor or black in the United States, but we could criminalize their common pleasure," Ehrlichman confessed. "We understood that drugs were not the health problems we were making them out to be, but it was such a perfect issue for the Nixon White House that we couldn't resist."
Wow.
And we're following you guys in Canada?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a bad idea. I sure hope we can get Canada steered in the right direction and all of the countries of the world. And I'm glad Leap's out there helping make this plea. As you go around and speak at your different events, you know, I'm kind of envious of the Leap speaker because working for Normal, I do end up kind of preaching to the choir sometimes. People that are coming to my show already kind of agree with what I'm saying. When you go out to these audiences of people that don't necessarily agree, what's the one or two biggest fears they bring up to you as far as why they don't want to see drugs legalized?
Oh, well, the conservative element or whatever you want to call them, or I think are afraid mainly that the sky's going to fall and that we're going to have the whole society of stoners and drug addicts and junkies. And, I mean, only half of them are alcoholics now, so I don't know what the difference is. But the fact is, that's their biggest fear. And you know what? Science and social science and whatnot just shows that's not true. That won't happen. Yeah, we're going to have some social problems with it. There's no question about it. But certainly not to the extent that we're having a problem with organized crime controlling these substances and shooting up our cities. We had a hell of a problem in our city this summer with the bikers fighting.
Yeah.
Bombings and shootings and whatnot. And that's all drug control, drug trade control and whatnot. And you guys keep sending those idiots up from the States. But, you know, and that's what's happening. And we got to put a stop to them. We got to pull the rug out from organized crime. We got to stop their ability to fund themselves. And the easiest way they do that is drugs. Drugs are the easiest thing to produce, to ship around, and the police are just not effective in stopping it.
Yeah, it's a war that can never be won, and really, to be honest, I don't think was ever designed to be won. Like you say, it's such a great tool for getting around, well, here in America, getting around our Bill of Rights, getting in Canada, I suppose, they use nasty tactics to get away around your Charter of Freedoms, too. I bet you have plenty of stories on that.
Well, yeah, and you know what? We probably, if we legalize drugs and took control and regulate, we'd probably get rid of that crap that they call crystal meth.
Yeah.
Because there'd be no need to make it. You know, we'd save a lot of lives. And, you know, when I worked homicide, we also dealt with a lot of overdoses and whatnot. And the saddest thing for me was going into some even suburban apartment complexes and whatnot, a woman dead in there, and you find them with dead, and the next room is her pimp boyfriend, who you're now trying to prove injected her with something, a hot load or something, mm-hmm. and she's dead, and this is a young suburban girl. I've had a few of those kinds of things, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to go and let break the news to their parents.
Jeez.
It's all avoidable.
Yes, it is.
We don't need to go through that. And as far as the police, all I have to say to the police officers are they don't get it simply because they're too busy enforcing the law. We can't expect our police officers to do everything in this world for us. And what we do ask them is to go into our communities and force these idiotic drug lords, and they do it. And we can't ask them to stop doing it, but all I'm asking them to do is think a little bit about what exactly you are doing and start to speak out.
Mm. All right. Well, William Vandergraff, a former Winnipeg police officer, speaker with LEAP. One other thing I wanted to bring up before we close up the interview here. There's a lot here in your bio about medical use of marijuana impacting you directly as far as your family. And so how terrible is it that this prohibition continues, especially in Canada, where the country supposedly has medical marijuana? But what I hear from Canadians is that it's woeful indeed. How does that affect you personally?
Well, I'm just actually waiting for my license for 6 months from Health Canada. It's a lot different system than you have in many of your U.S. states, but, you know, it's a rigmarole, and now they're trying to change it and stop, simply have licensed, not dispensaries, but producers who will mail or courier out your product, eh? And, of course, a good friend of mine is a young fellow with glaucoma here, and he grows for himself. And they're taking it all away from him. His personal production license will be taken away. And I know many medical marijuana. Like, glaucoma is a very serious bunch of business. He's losing his eyesight. If you're listening, Stephen Stairs from Winnipeg, you know, it's terrible what the government has done to young people like you and many others who are sick and need this substance. And now they're trying to make it even tougher. And I have a daughter myself who is not very well from a life-threatening disease, and she uses it as well. And it's, you know, they want to put pressure on the pot community. They're making a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't accomplish anything.
It does not. You know, and it seems to me that their moral stance here is sometimes these people that are anti-medical marijuana, their moral stance really boils down to, yeah, maybe we could help you out with your suffering, but we can't risk a kid smoking a joint.
Well, that's right, and what you've got to understand about the Canadian government, we now have a national church here, and it's Stephen Harper's church. It's the Alliance Evangelical Church of Canada or something,
really?
And right in the principles of that church, and I don't like to get into religion, but right in the principles of that church, among all the other social issues, is singled out marijuana is prohibited for the principles of their members.
Hmm. Wow.
Only religion, I think, in the world that prohibits, they don't prohibit cocaine or alcohol.
I guess God made a mistake.
I guess.
Well, it's no more loony than a lot of the things I hear in the drug war. More of this insanity. We'll keep fighting it. And William Vandergraff from LEAP, you're out there speaking to the people and getting them informed on this. We thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you, Russ.
Oh, thank you. And when we come back, we'll do a little radical ranting. Is the drug war driving you crazy? It is me. We're right back after this.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Because the day was hard and your work was long. Need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green. And smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Loose lips cause rips. Never brag about your home grow, even if you're a legal medical grower.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Is the drug war driving you crazy? Sure is driving me crazy. You know, it's driving a lot of people crazy, actually. And today when I began my day, a little news piece came across my desk. And I'm not going to talk about it specifically. But a news piece came across my desk with more craziness in it. Let's just, long story short, there's some crazy people out there. And it's frustrating sometimes when you're fighting this this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs, because it in itself is so crazy when you really break it down. The fact that we are under the force of government and guns trying to eliminate a species of plant that doesn't kill people and actually helps heal them and make their lives better. And that people that grow this plant and use it and feel good using it are criminals that need to be separated from society with the strictest of punishments, with sentences that are mandated by law that a judge cannot alter because they are so dangerous to us. I mean, I've been doing this show. This is show number 757. I've been doing so many of these shows and so many of these stories that come across your desk day after day, time after time. When you read something like Patricia Spotted Crow doing, 10 years in prison for two sales that totaled $31 worth of weed, 10 years. And the judge said, oh, well, I thought I was being lenient because I didn't sentence the grandma so the grandma can raise the kids. So you read that story and then you do a little Google News search. You find a child rapist in Oklahoma getting away with a 20-year sentence, 19 years suspended for probation, 1 year in time served, right? Basically walking the streets after, admitting to a child rape. And these things drive you crazy. They do. They drive you crazy after a while having to report on these things, reporting on people losing their lives, having their careers ruined, losing their freedom, having their kids taken away, all over the use of cannabis. It's just maddening. And it becomes more maddening when you look around you. You may remember, I'm going to take a little detour here. You may remember a John Carpenter movie from the early 80s called They Live. And if you've never seen it, get on Netflix and go watch it. They Live. And the protagonist of the story, Rowdy Roddy Piper, a pro wrestler, is just a Joe everyman who finds a pair of sunglasses that when he puts them on, he can see the world for what it really is, and that we're all being controlled by these evil alien creatures. That aside, sometimes when you're in the marijuana movement, it feels like you've got those glasses on. And you can see the world for what it is. And you look around and you see, oh my God, every commercial on the TV is for boner pills or happy pills or beer or, more boner pills or boner pills with beer. I mean, just every commercial you see has something to do with drugs. And then the commercial after it, the PSA says, we're fighting for a drug-free America. Really? Have you watched NASCAR? Have you seen football games? Have you gone to any sports stadiums named after breweries? To say that we are a drug-free country is ludicrous on its face, and yet these are the things we're told from the time we're kids in school with DARE programs and such, war on drugs that don't have barcodes, and it drives you crazy after a while. And you just start to kind of, like, how many different ways can I express how insane it is to lock people up for a plant, and how a crime against nature and humanity it is to restrict us from using industrial hemp? I mean, really, that's the tragedy of prohibition, really. Beyond us smoking pot or beyond the medicine thing of it is the industrial hemp part of it. That we are ignoring this most useful of crops is just insane. Because, not even because it's a drug, but because it's related to something that's a drug. It's like banning powdered sugar because it looks like cocaine. It makes no sense whatsoever. So it starts to drive you crazy. And I have to remember that sometimes when I'm looking through the news and I'm reading the antics of people that I have on the pages of my blog and in this show called Guano Loco, batshit crazy. And I have to remember, they know the same facts I know. And maybe it's just, maybe some of us have, certain barriers in our brains that keep us from tripping over the edge on these things, and other people don't. And confronted with this madness of the war on drugs, they become true believerish and martyrs and zealots and I guess I'm trying to find some sort of, respect or trying to empathy, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Empathy for these people who really do, I believe they're sincere. I have to believe they're sincere. I have to believe that these guys that do the crazy antics and shouting from the rooftops like they do, I have to believe they're sincere, because the other direction to take this, has to do with comments that I've seen many times. The other frustrating thing about being in the marijuana movement is that there are a lot of conspiracy theory type folks, right? And I don't want to go too much into that as to which ones are true and which ones, I don't, you know, that's not the point here. But there's a lot of people that get themselves involved in magical ideation, conspiratorial thinking. And I've read on more than one occasion, a friend of mine who's an activist, or being directed to me personally, where someone will say, well, you're obviously a plant. You're obviously a plant working for the government. You're COINTELPRO. My younger listeners, go look that up. COINTELPRO. You're COINTELPRO, right? It's secret, you know, Manchurian candidates working against us from inside. Moles in the system working for normal to secretly keep it illegal so we can make money defending people in small-time misdemeanor marijuana cases. All right. So we get this conspiratorial thinking that goes on, and this charge of being a narc or undercover COINTELPRO, after a while, when you see these crazy guys doing weird, wacky stuff in some of these states, that starts to become an attractive explanation. You start to go, well, either this guy is really nuts, or he's purposefully doing this to make the movement look bad. Maybe that's what it is. So I don't want to go there. So I have to believe these guys are sincere, that they really want, you know, marijuana legalized, and they have their objections to, you know, one plant and 6 ounces or whatever the latest proposal is going to be. It has to be that way. It's driving a lot of us crazy out there. And it drives our government crazy as well. I mean, you have somebody like Barack Obama, who early on in his career is talking about the decriminalization of marijuana, that the war on drugs is an utter failure. We need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. He has never been a proponent of legalization. That's been clear. But at least in his early days would propose that we ought to rethink and decriminalize. And now can't even go near decriminalization, would never touch it with a 10-foot pole, etc. And I gotta think he's a reasonable guy who can think through the issues. He smoked weed, he did coke when he was a kid. I think he knows it's not the demon devil drugs that they've been told that they are. I mean, he became president, right? So I think he's got to know the truth about this. And I think there's so many people in the government and in the law enforcement and politics and all these industries that know the truth about marijuana, that it's really not that harmful. And you start to try to figure out, well, why is this insanity continuing then? What are the parts, you know, because obviously the explanations were being given. We've got to stop people from using a dangerous drug. Bullshit. It's not a dangerous drug. We kind of settled that, right? You know, since the 60s, since the 50s, you know, since the 30s, since America's been, people have been smoking weed, and, you know, most of them by and large aren't a problem for society. We know it's not that dangerous. And you can't give us the dangerous drug argument when you're simultaneously allowing us to sell and buy cigarettes and alcohol. That dangerous drug argument don't wash. You're not trying to protect us from ourselves, obviously. So the explanations, the excuses we've been given obviously can't be true. So you start trying to look at, well, what's underneath here? And, you know, John Lennon said it best back in the day, you know, follow the money. You start to follow the money on the drug war. Why does this insanity continue? Well, you start to see prison guards unions, where the prison guards have gone up from, in just the past 5 years, gone from about 23,000 prison guards in California to 32,000 prison guards in California, whose average salaries went from 2005, about $44,000 a year, to now about $73,000 a year. Average salaries, $73,000 a year, 32. They are at job fairs. These prison guard unions are at job fairs touting their industry, promoting it as the growth industry. Here's a career where you can move up and have a single salary job to support your family with benefits that pay 80% pensions when you leave for life, etc., etc. I mean, hell yeah, you know, locking people up and warehousing them is good business in a lot of places. You start to see behind the insanity, and you start to realize that the war on drugs really isn't that crazy after all, if you know why it's really being fought, right? Once you start to understand what's really going on there, it starts to make a whole lot of sense. When you start to look at the competitive industries that would have to fight against an industrial hemp crop, how they might not like to have that competition. When you look at the governments around the world that are following the U.S. in lockstep, and all of these treaties, you know, U.N. single convention treaties that we're locked into, and so many states and so many laws, and this web of legislation that keeps prohibition in action. And of course, you can look at Wall Street. You can look at the bankers that are making so much money laundering that drug money. You can look at the government that is funding its black ops, you know, off the books operations, by using the funds, the proceeds of drugs. You can look at the reporting from the 80s at Gary Webb and the San Jose Mercury about the CIA funneling cocaine into LA. And it's just, it's madness and it's driving us all crazy. And of course, we know the simple solution. That's probably the most maddening part of it, is we all know that it should just be legal, that we can treat it like wine, we can treat it like alcohol. We have models for dealing with this and letting adults be adults. And that's the most maddening part of it, is knowing what we have to do, knowing what has to happen, having all these crazy roadblocks in our way. I just wish a few of these roadblocks weren't supposedly on our side. All right, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for The Rant. Appreciate it, everybody being here. Stay tuned for Hour 2 for Cannabis Carry, Wiz Kaliko, Ganja John, Cannabis Cure UK. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.